So thank you all for sticking around. I'm Jeremy Conkle. I'm a postdoc with Jay Gann at the University of California, Riverside. And I'm going to give you a presentation on a study I recently completed looking at the degradation and absorption of a couple pharmaceutical compounds in DEET under aerobic and anaerobic conditions in wetland sediments. Now, if you guys were around yesterday, the S11 had a great session on organic pollutants in the environment, and so they talked a lot about pharmaceuticals. A lot of good stuff going on with the research in that field. In general, if you see PPCPs, or I say that in the talk, I'm just referring to the general class of pharmaceuticals and personal care products. What we know today is that these compounds are fairly ubiquitous in the environment, and we can detect them down to less than one part per trillion currently, but they're probably even there at lower concentrations. We just aren't able to detect them yet. But you can also find them at much higher concentrations, several parts per billion in treated wastewater or even wastewater. And then in biosolids, sometimes you get even higher concentrations. And I think I've even seen some numbers in part per million in some concentrated animal feedlot biosolids. In general, the concentrations in the environment are really low, and so it's not really a human concern. More what we're concerned about is the aquatic organisms, the fish, the macroinvertebrates, and the stuff that lives in the soil and sediments. And so we're worried more about chronic exposure. Fish are swimming around in the aqueous environment all day, and trace amounts of these compounds are constantly passing through their body. And so what's a fish's dose compared to a human dose? We don't know. It could be one part per trillion. It could be much lower than that. So the important thing is there to figure out what's going on in the environment, how these compounds are infecting the organisms, and how we can treat them in the environment. And so I show you a wetland because that's my main area of interest, is how these compounds are mitigated in wetlands. And we all know that wetlands have a remarkable capability to mitigate pollutants, and historically it's been for nutrient removal, reducing the BOD. But some recent studies have also shown that they're pretty good at degrading and absorbing these compounds as well. And so there's lots of treatment mechanisms. You have a highly diverse environment in wetlands. You have aerobic zones, anaerobic zones. You have transitions between those, and you have sometimes in the root layer you'll have it's not well as well defined as I have it here, but you'll have oxidized areas right around the roots, and around them it'll be a reduced area. So you have fluctuation in the physicochemical properties of the soils. You have plant uptake. You have photolysis that can occur. Absorption to the sediment. So there's all these mechanisms that can treat these compounds in the environment. So the general idea is you'll have a pretty good amount or whatever environmental concentration going in, and you'll have some smaller concentration when it leaves. So in general, my objective was to examine the impacts that redox potential has on compound degradation over a 112-day incubation, and then look at the partitioning of the compounds between the soil and water in my experiment, and then try to make some guesstimates about what design parameters might be the most efficient for degrading and absorbing some of the pharmaceutical compounds. And those are the four compounds that I'm going to talk about today. Carbamazepine is one of the most commonly found compounds. Ibuprofen is generally less persistent in the environment. It degrades fairly rapidly. Gemfibrozil is a fibrate, so it's for cholesterol drug. It's a statin, or is it? I think it's for cholesterol. And then DEET, everybody knows, is a bug repellent, and surprisingly, DEET hasn't received a lot of attention in some of these studies. There seems to be a lot of research available or to do on DEET. So we looked at three sediments from the Newport Bay watershed, which is in Orange County, California. I incubated 10 grams of each sediment with 20 milliliters of water and spiked it with 500 nanograms of each compound. And then we incubated the samples for 112 days, and we sacrificed samples at day 1, 3, 14, 28, 56, and 112. We centrifuged the samples to separate the water and the soil and measured the concentration in both phases. We took the total concentration that was left after each incubation step, and that's how we determine the half-life. So the total concentration in the soil and water at that step. And then we also determine the phase partitioning at each time interval. And you notice it has a prime there because it's not the true KD you would normally see in the literature. We didn't kill the microbes in the soil, so it's not as cut and dry as it is with most studies. So we have a control where we did actually inoculate the soil so that there's no antibiotic or microbial activity. So basically I'm estimating the KD for this study. three soils are San Diego Creek, which is SD. It has a 3.27% organic carbon content. The Newport Bay is a very similar soil. It also has about a 3.2% organic carbon content. And then we also spiked that soil with sodium azide as a control to examine if there's any biotic versus abiotic degradation going on with the compounds. And then we also had a constructed wetland sediment, which is much more coarse. It's a more sandy sediment, and they actually had amended it. We found chunks of organic matter that they added to the soil, but in general, its organic matter content is much lower, only less than 1%. With degradation, the first thing you see on this graph is that it's much higher. Carbamazepine is much higher under in aerobic degradation than the other three compounds. So you have half-life here on the y-axis and then the compounds. But carbamazepine is much higher half-life, so it's much more resistant to degradation. And you'll notice that the control, there's definitely some biotic degradation because the half-life is increasing when there's no biotic activity. With the other three compounds, they're roughly around 20 days for their half-life. Ibuprofen was down to about 7 days for the constructed wetland sediment, which is that sediment with the lowest organic matter content. And one of the other things we'll notice is that with DEET, there's a significant amount of biotic degradation. The DEET went from about 20 days up to 81 days when there was no microbial activity in the sediment. So we see a significant increase there with DEET, meaning that microbial degradation is pretty significant. We also see a little bit with the other compounds. You can see a little bit more degradation here and here and with carbamazepine. Under anaerobic conditions, there's a significant increase in the half-lives. So this orange line here represents pretty much the average. So it's about put it at about 20. So that's what the compounds were at before for ibuprofen and gemfibrozil. So there's about 11 to 34 time increase in degradation rates under anaerobic conditions. And what you'll also notice is that the SD soil right here and right here is missing. It's because we didn't see any degradation in that soil. So we went from around 20 days to no degradation over 112 days. And with DEET, we didn't see any degradation in any of the treatments. So DEET's fairly resistant to degradation under anaerobic conditions. With carbamazepine, the increase in degradation was much less than the other compounds. It's only 1.5 to 2.5 times. So that's good. If you were to treat these compounds in a wetland, and it doesn't really matter for carbamazepine as much as what the wetland conditions are as far as redox potential. With adsorption, these are carbamazepine and DEET. On the top two graphs on this slide and the next slide are both the aerobic adsorption potentials, and then the anaerobics are the bottom two. The KD values here on the y-axis and days on the x, and all the colors are the same, so try to keep you from getting as confused or too confused. What we saw in general was this rapid adsorption during the first 7 days of each experiment, but then we saw that adsorption kind of level off after that date. But we did see, especially with these two compounds, every treatment we saw the KD significantly increase from day one to day 112, which generally you think that adsorption is happens and then it kind of slows down and not a lot goes on after the first adsorption phase. But so we saw a significant increase in adsorption, and especially with DEET, what you see here, mostly that's caused by adsorption to the sediment, in that the compound adsorbed to the sediment is generally not bioavailable, and so you have an increasing concentration in the sediment, whereas you also get a decreasing concentration in the aqueous phase because it's being degraded. So that really drives up your KD. And this is our control, so you can see in the absence of biotic degradation, the KD is fairly constant or fairly consistent, but it still was significantly increasing, just not to the point as it was in biologically active samples. With the other two compounds, gemfibrozil and ibuprofen, we saw a lot of degradation. They degraded pretty rapidly, so we weren't able to actually calculate the KD past day 56 just because they were degrading. We couldn't get any detection of the compounds. So with many of the treatments, especially the ones that degraded rapidly, we weren't able to see any significant increases in the adsorption potential. So generally with adsorption, we saw that increased adsorption. It was rapid at first. As far as the potential for the compounds absorbed, carbamazepine absorbed the most, which is good because we see it more often in the environment. So if we can get it out of the aqueous phase and stabilize it in the sediment, it might be a little better. Then followed by gemfibrozil and DEET and ibuprofen. Generally, like I said, we saw that absorption increasing with time. And the phenomenon people, I saw a couple of talks on it this week, where was aging is kind of a general term people use to describe when you have a compound, it binds with the sediment, it over time it becomes more and more deeper and intertwined in the sediment, and it becomes less bioavailable and less resistant to desorption. And so we think that's what's happening with these compounds. They're just becoming more and more strongly bound to the sediment and less bioavailable, and therefore the aqueous phase is decreasing, the concentration in the aqueous phase is decreasing, whereas the concentration in the sediment is actually increasing a little bit. With ibuprofen, low absorption and a relatively short aerobic half-life is probably due to the fact that it didn't absorb as well. It's probably the reason that it has that short half-life, because it didn't absorb that well to the soil. It's more bioavailable. And our values that we saw for aerobic degradation were very similar to what was seen in the literature. No anaerobic values. I couldn't find any for ibuprofen, and the same goes for DEET. I couldn't find any degradation values, especially in soil for DEET, and definitely nothing under anaerobic conditions. But we do notice that DEET had a significant amount of biotic degradation, and that's probably because we saw no measurable anaerobic degradation, which is probably because of the shift in the microbial community from the highly productive aerobic microbes to the less productive anaerobic microbes. And again, there's no previous degradation values in the literature. So if anybody has seen any of those, let me know. Again, Fibrazil, our values were at the low end of what was found under anaerobic conditions. So that's good. It means the wetland is potentially degrading these compounds a little faster than some of the other environmental matrices that it was tested in. Again, no anaerobic values could be found. Our lab did a study a couple years ago, and they didn't see any degradation in some agricultural soils after 80 days. So it's good that we did see some degradation under anaerobic conditions. And carbamazepine, we're right in line with some of the previous studies for degradation. So the wetland didn't seem to have any more of an effect on degrading carbamazepine than other compounds. As far as absorption mechanisms, I tried to figure out and look for correlations between organic matter content. And generally, there was a weak positive correlation, but it wasn't it wasn't anything definitive. So generally, the constructed wetland had the lowest half-life, meaning that there was more degradation there, which might have something to do with the organic carbon content and the compounds being more bioavailable. But looked at cation exchange, there was really no correlation there. And then the compound polarity may play a role, but it's really hard to tell what is driving the absorption of these compounds. So as far as the environmental implications, redox obviously plays a major role in the degradation of the compounds. So if you're going to create a wetland or any kind of system to treat these in the environment, you want to aerate it as much as possible, encourage mixing of the soil and soil solution, and try to get those compounds to degrade, and then also increase the hydraulic retention time and the sediment contact time in order to increase and encourage absorption to the soils. So maybe if you had an aerated subsurface flow wetland, that would be the most efficient way to treat some of these compounds. As far as research needs, there's so many compounds, and you can't do a study like this for every compound to figure out what is impacting it. So we need to get some good studies done that look at the mechanisms that encourage absorption or encourage degradation and try to develop some models to look at broad classes of compounds. And that's it. Questions? The sediment were from like the top 10 centimeters. We kept all the stuff that would be the most active biologically and where there would be the most contact between potentially where these compounds would be and the sediment.
And how old are these systems?
The river, the San Diego Creek is a natural system. So, it's been around for as long as I know it's been around. But the constructed wetland, I think, might be about 10 or 15 years old. And the ponds there are various ages, but I just sampled from one of the ponds, so I'm not sure exactly how old that specific pond is.
Okay. Have you noticed any changes in the pH
With the samples under anaerobic conditions, there was about a 1-unit increase in pH in the aqueous phase, but the aerobic samples, I'm sorry, there was a 1 pH increase in the aerobic samples, but not only, but very small increase in pH in the anaerobic samples. I actually, when in the paper I'm putting together, I actually have some of the figures for that. So, any other questions?